When the sun came up this morning, I took the time to watch it rise. And as its beauty struck the darkness from the skies, I thought how small and unimportant all my troubles seemed to be, and how lucky another day belongs to me. And as the sleepy world around me woke up to greet the day, all its silent beauty seemed to say, "So what, my friend, if all your dreams you haven't realized? Look around you, boy, you've got a whole new day to try. Today is mine, today is mine, to do with what I will. Today is mine, my own special cup to fill. To die a little, that I might learn to live. To take from life, that I might learn to give. Today is mine."
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, March 12th, 2021. The incomparable Jerry Reed, not typically remembered for songs like that, but, you know, when you're hot, you're hot. So that was, I mentioned Bill Dance Outdoors yesterday, and that was actually the theme song, the original theme song for Bill Dance Outdoors for the first 22 seasons. And I don't think they should have changed it personally, but whatever. Anyway, one quick thing before you read in its entirety what you were reading, Brian. I was thinking about what you said, not Inslee, but one of his experts. So that's what you do in technocracy, of the experts query the data. It's part of scientism, but more than that, I've talked recently about, you know, Robert Cialdini and the six principles of persuasion and this idea of persuasion, and these kinds of things. And oh, if I can find it, I have a copy of The New Conceptual Selling, the Most Effective and Proven Method for Face-to-Face Sales Planning, revised and updated for the 21st century. Stephen E. Hyman, Diane Sanchez, with Tad Tuleha, forward by John Philip Coughlin. And in here, oh, I forget exactly where it is, the ways that you build credibility. And, you know, just to go off the top of my head, the ways that you build credibility are previous relationship, previous working relationship, name recognition, like Coke and Pepsi kind of thing, and then transference. You know, like somebody says, "Hey, I worked with these guys, they're great, you should work with them." And so the point is, this is a way of manipulating people. Inslee's not going to say it, but he's going to build credibility for himself through transference, because the expert's going to say it, and it's going to make Inslee look more credible than he can himself, if that makes sense. Anyway, in addition, so that people understand the kind of manipulation that I was talking about earlier. So, enough about that. Go ahead.
In these historic times, the Forward is keeping the community informed and connected with powerful reporting, inspirational storytelling, and crucial communal conversations. So, you know, the amazing Bailey has a link in the chat room, her most recent, and it is indeed theforward.com, so you can read it yourself if you wanted to get your eyeballs on it. So I have a couple other things, Chris, with your permission.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we troll people. Well, initially we contact them, and then we lay it out. If you're going to help expose the communitarian nightmare, we'll support you. But if you make the tragic decision to steer away from that, then we will troll you. So the amazing Allison McDowell, I mean, Lark is even hesitant to have a interview with her because she is just a mile a minute, amazing amount of research information in that woman's head. And Lark, I think, would feel a little bit hesitant. Anyway, we got her to get on Angry Castle Show. We got Shy in Israel to interview several people. And eventually, now Allison's been on with Shy twice. But back to if you make a tragic decision, Shy now does not mention communitarianism in his most recent, and instead he's now referring it to the new capitalism. So Jenna is dutifully making my breakfast this morning, but she said, you know, I am kind of confused, Brian. It's communalist versus libertarian? And Nikki's work 10 years ago said it's capitalism versus communism is out. It's going to be not Republicans against Democrats because they're both communitarian now. It is going to be the communitarians versus the libertarians. But this, you know, predictive programming where 1984 book is telling us exactly what's going to happen. Well, there's fiction books out now, and we find this over at Nori, N-O-R-I, the YouTube channel. It's got a guy a few years older than me, Vietnam era guy, and he is describing just that. He uses, instead of communitarianism, he uses the word communalist versus libertarian. So it's not these people lack intelligence. I think it is that they are deliberately here to steer us off this path and confuse Jenna. Jenna adds to that. So this Shy guy is going to hear from me. He just, or some YouTuber, somebody just pulled my comment from his Allison interview, which I, again, is his second one. So moving on to Idaho, Casey Whalen heard me on an interview about communitarianism with Scorpio from Revolution Radio. And he called up Lark and said, hey, Catherine Austin Fitz is equating my militias with the breakup of the United States. I can't find that interview. And Lark said, well, here's Brian's number. Go ahead and call him up. Casey and I have a conversation. And I said, no, Catherine doesn't know who you are, but what she was describing with the dark journalist interview, which, by the way, has been pulled for some reason. The rest of dark journalist is up, but that particular one from 4 or 5 months ago ain't there anymore because she was laying out some information that, again, the world is not supposed to know about. But what I did explain to Casey was, you know, this is your choice. You've had Lark on your broadcast, but I don't think you have even dusted the cover of the Commutatarian book off, let alone opened it. But I would suggest you do, because not the Great Reset, but the Greater Reset was a compilation of 20 of the big wigs in the alternative, James Corbett and Derek Brose and Dolores Cahill. These people are communitarian pushing, and I told Casey, you know, I don't think you want to be associated with pushing communitarianism. So maybe the first step would be to find out what it really is. And during the before mentioned broadcast a week or 10 days ago that Lark, Jenna, and I and on Scorpio, we are talking about, you know, we cannot use this word community. It is a meme, and it doesn't mean what we think it is. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with stumbling and saying, oh, gosh, what is the word I'm supposed to be using? Yeah, it's awkward. Someone's playing us for thousands of years that would be an awkward movement. I think the word I'm supposed to be using is community, but I can't be. That would be a fine way to say it. But during this interview, I shared with the audience, and, you know, you're talking about the Frankfurt School, and this, you know, Lark was jumping up and down trying to get people to look at this, none of which anyone ever reads anything, or making very little headway. But the Macy Conference was my point on this broadcast, that it seems as though they intend to have the community govern us, or more importantly, appear as though the community is getting you to wear a mask and distance, and I have a sick mother, and for that reason, I don't want you even walking up my driveway. We're going to be governed by the community, and the real perpetrators of the New World Order, One World Government, are going to remain behind the Wizard of Oz curtain until we get our act together and say, huh, aren't those interesting words in the Forward magazine, and why is Governor Inslee using it every other word when he's not talking about community? Mm-hmm. All yours, Chris. I'll chat all you want this morning.
Well, so, you know, the first question is I forget how you referred to them, but, you know, guys, folks like James Corbett, you know, pushing communitarianism. I'm not sure why, you know, like on what basis you make that statement, but I think it might be helpful to maybe search that out a little bit, because, you know, that's quite a statement. To maybe flesh that out a little bit and talk about what it is that, you know, precipitates that remark, I think is helpful. As far as what communitarianism is, you know, that piece that Nikki wrote in 2006, March 28, that you can find over at News with Views, I think is probably the best brief, concise, you know, comprehensive treatise on the subject, communitarianism, a three-level con job. And it's everything, you know, all mixed together. I think of, you know, I mentioned the Rockefeller File yesterday by Gary Allen. Again, mentioned it before, obviously, but, you know, published in 1976. That line where in the introduction, Congressman Larry McDonald writes, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies to create a one-world government combining supercapitalism and communism. And supercapitalism is a different animal than this thing we would call capitalism or many other things. he called it super capitalism. We could you know, talk about different names for it, but super capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. This is part of communitarianism. It's not just that, but that's part of the recipe. And it's a witch's brew of the worst of all things, basically. And that's why it's so difficult to conceptualize, because it's everything and it's always morphing. It's the what do you call it? Reflexive policy that's, you know, driving this endless change. And so the way that Nikki put it, 21st century communitarianism is a philosophical, political, and legal theory. It combines every opposite theory in the history of the world. It's a projected vision for a new global order by the year 2020. It's what all of us should be socially evolving into. Communitarians borrow ideas from ancient religions, Plato, Marx, Jefferson, Buber, Madame Blavatsky. Studying their theory is a nightmare. It's unfocused and vague. And this new theory is nothing like what Friedrich Bastiat called a valid scientific inquiry, as in one that, quote, proceeds by way of observation. Their new ideas are unoriginal and their methods are unscientific. We're being led into a solution which, quote, like astrology and alchemy, proceeds by way of imagination. That's Bastiat, Economic Harmonies. Communitarian thinking actually reminds me a lot of the alien theory, Nikki wrote. Communitarians base all their ideas in rituals, ancient languages, and beliefs only their adepts understand, which, again, is part of why I say whenever you find these people, you find the theosophical contingent close by, the divine wisdom, you know, the secret, the Abraham Hicks crowd, all of these people, they're always in the same little circle. So continuing, Nikki writes, like the most scholarly alien theorists, their ideas use facts that prove everything except whether or not aliens actually exist. As social evolutionists, communitarian gurus claim their best evidence lies in how many people their vibes and embrace their, how many people feel their vibes and embrace their values. There are good cons. Communitarianism is introduced as a multi-layered mystical illusion. Exactly. And that's why it's so difficult to understand. And she goes on, you know, the three pillars of their triangular ideology are philosophy, politics, and law. And then she goes into some specifics, but that's it in a nutshell. It combines all the worst of everything throughout recorded history into one giant witch's brew. And, you know, it's, again, this idea of, like the old, you know, making of a great sword, you take all of this stuff, hammer it together, fold it, hammer it, fold it, hammer it, fold it, hammer it, until you have something that's unbreakable. And then you impose that, or you actually sort of infuse that into the people while you're doing the same thing to them, which gets back to the Fabian window concept. That's basically what the Fabian window represents. Is the, you know, infusing into the people this communitarian concept of all these things and folding people and hammering them and folding and hammering, which is why you have the heat and the bellows and the hammer and the anvil and all that stuff in the Fabian window.
So it could be that J.J. Zapp is listening, although it's a beautiful sunny day in Washington State, and he's probably out cutting his firewood. But Jenna has sat right down and found something that I think kind of answers the James Corbett inquiry that you just mentioned. Well, maybe we should flesh that out. Jenna's found something specifically. Do I hear the break music?
Yep, we're headed into a break. So we'll do that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs.
So speaking of communitarianism and Nikki's piece, Communitarianism, a Three-Level Con Job, this really sort of sums it up for the uninitiated, as she puts it, or the unwashed masses, or even most of us are trying to make sense of this. And, you know, the more you hear of it, the more you, and I, you know, my sense is, just to sort of hint at something, my sense is that people who have not really dug into this, and it's just, I mean, you know, it's just a mind, it's like it's a Gordian knot. You know, you start looking into this and you're like, well, this is a mess. I don't even know what to do with this. And Nikki sums it up. She says the unscientific logic that holds up the emerging supranational system, that's communitarianism, was not designed to be easily explained. It was designed to be misunderstood on purpose. That way, when opponents discuss any one layer of the big con, it makes little sense to the uninitiated. And you actually sound foolish when you start trying to articulate this stuff because it's not supposed to make sense, as she says. And, you know, just to sort of flesh it out one step further, what I was talking about earlier about credibility, this is not a little thing. When you said Inslee has the expert on, people don't realize this is the logical fallacy of circular reasoning. They create their little titles of grand poobah and their little institutes of grand poobah, and it's the fallacy of circular reasoning where they're all pointing to each other in a giant circle saying, he's an expert. Everyone's an expert because I say so, by fiat declaration. So the book I mentioned, The New Conceptual Selling, chapter 8 is where what I was looking for is, it's the chapter is titled, Do I Have Credibility? And this is an entire chapter in one of the most influential sales books ever published. And so they go through the elements of credibility and so on and so on. But then there's this: three ways to obtain credibility, established by reputation, transferred, earned by you. And so the first two, you know, established by reputation, well, you know, they create their institutes of grand poobah. And then transferred, like I said, the fallacy of circular reasoning. They all point to each other and say, he's an expert. Everyone's pointing to the left, basically, and saying, he's an expert. And it's no small thing. This is, I mean, the Milgram experiment teaches us that, you know, and that was to flesh out the Nuremberg defense. We were just following orders. This is not a small thing. And we're experiencing all of this in very real ways in America today. And, you know, we have the history now where we can go back and kind of reverse engineer and scientifically dissect how this fraud and deception is perpetrated, and yet it's still happening. It's crazy. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so this YouTube or whatever platform video it is, and Jenna will mm-hmm. put it in the chat room, is from a guy who Lark has made contact with. He doesn't know what communitarianism is, but he is interested. It's called Decoding Davos, the Global End Game. We sent it to you and 25 other people, Chris, on March 2nd. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jenna puts along with sending it, J.J. Zapp's comment below the video throws a brick because it's 80% there. What has currently transpired in short sight, well done documentary. One obvious omission misdirects a complete understanding. The maker has been notified. So J.J.'s comment is flashy presentation with a lot of good information and nothing about the quote-unquote system behind it. I'd call that lies of omission. FYI, the omission is communitarianism. Further, you add the gatekeepers, Rosa Corey and Patrick Wood, ? Either you are a fool or a tool. I'd say most likely the latter. Proof is adding the pathetic coattail rider Griffin, that's G. Edward, and shill gatekeeper named Heathen, which you have to watch the video to find out who that gentleman is, working with the well-known shill Corbett, doing their level best to pass off communitarianism as collectivism. Nice try, ya schmuck. BTW. Notice the gulp from Corbett at the end of their shilling, pun intended.
I have a question when we come back. So, if you can hang on, let's. Yeah. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain.
Welcome back.
I can picture every move.
Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Friday, March 12th, 2021. So a couple of, preliminary, prerequisites, I guess, to my question. So first, like Nikki pointed out, communitarianism is confusing, right? It's designed to be misunderstood, misleading, confusing to the uninitiated, so to speak, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I mean, so we definitely agree on that. And then, the Marxist conflict model is essential to the advancement of this nonsense. Basically, the idea behind, I would say, to sort of summarize the idea behind the confusion and the lack of understanding is that you have to, again, you have to go to the experts. You have to go to Inslee's expert. I try to look at the data. I don't feel like I'm a complete imbecile. But, I look at the data. I don't see what the expert's seeing. Clearly, I must not be an expert, so I need the expert's help. And therefore, the expert becomes indispensable. And so, that's the reason, one of the nefarious reasons behind the reason that it seems so confusing. But the conflict is also essential. The Marxist conflict And, you know, it can't just be a civil discourse. It requires conflict so that you can have this, well, from Nikki's article, again, the Communitarianism, a Three-Level Con Job back in 2006, she says the three pillars of the triangular ideology are philosophy, politics, and law. And from the philosophy section, and she writes on each one after that, but philosophy first, she says the communitarian solution is the ultimate synthesis in the 1812 Hegelian dialectic. Hegel posed that conflicts between opposites naturally leads mankind into embracing a form of philosophical fascist perfection. And she talks, you know, next she says the 1848 Communist Manifesto expanded the Hegelian philosophy into dialectical materialism. The Marxists' natural conflict between the haves and have-nots justifies riots and assassinations. It was modified in 1884 to include covert seditious activities. This is the Marxists' quote, end to justify the means theory. Hegel's and Marx's ideas were the theoretical basis for Stalin's Soviet Russia, Russian police state, and Hitler's National Socialism. Both practiced eugenics against lesser peoples, quote unquote. So it's this conflict of opposites or perceived competing interests or ideologies, most of which are contrived entirely, that is indispensable to the advancement of this fusing of all of this stuff together into one unbreakably welded together, you know, amalgamation of evil, basically, I would say. And so, I mean, can we agree that the conflict is indispensable as well?
Well, it's crucial to implement the communitarian final solution that has no detractors. It is perfect.
Right, and that incorporates on a broader scale the whole, you know, combating violent extremism nonsense that we've heard, you know, coming through the Obama administration, in, you know, through the Trump administration into this administration, obviously. CVE nonsense, you know, and we've, you and I think have talked about that. I've mentioned it several times, but yeah. And that again gets back to that notion of, you know, the, you know, peace is the absence of any opposition, really, is what they're trying to get to.
I think the confusing part comes from stuff like apparently Elon Musk's great-grandfather or grandfather up in Canada was thrown out for being a technocracy pusher. So, you know, this just fuels people like Patrick Wood to leading people. There's your boogeyman right over there. And along with, you know, the feminism type issue where, you know, Nikki takes on a big, you know, I'm going to build little hovels and shacks tied together with duct tape with other women builders. So, you know, J.J. Zapp and myself are sitting here in Washington State, and we aren't moving forward in unity together very well, and equality is not a huge talking point for our discussion. Here we have Dennis Fetchow yesterday playing a 20-minute clip of Steve Bannon and some woman, and she's our new hero. Steve Bannon has switched from being a Trump basher, and now he's supporting the Trump. And the woman is here to say, well, I'm questioning my vaccinations. And so they wrap it up talking about, I don't want to live under a king. No, we're not going to live under a king unless you're not paying attention. We're going to be living under a queen who is now currently the vice president, but we are being played this feminism, you know, Rush Limbaugh and his feminazis. Yeah, we have a variety of confusion thrown into this so that we will continue the battling against each other. Meanwhile, this is just being ushered in like a 4th of July parade, and everybody's parting ways to bring in the solution. It's extremely frustrating.
It is frustrating. And so here's where I was going with my two points about the confusion and the conflict. Patrick Wood is extremely well informed. You know, the author of Technocracy Rising, partnered with Anthony Sutton to write Trilaterals Over Washington 50 years ago, basically. I mean, Patrick Wood is extremely well informed. Rosa Corey, very well informed. James Corbett, very well informed. But, you know, confusion and misunderstanding are an essential component to this thing we refer to as communitarianism. And so what I wonder is, you know, despite the fact that some people are extremely well informed, is it intentional, or is it just because this thing is so confusing and so easily misunderstood or not comprehensively understood? I think, you know, Nikki has command of the subject in a way that few, if any, other people do. And, you know, short of her understanding and articulation of it, is it something that people are doing? Is it intentional, or is it just because the rest of us don't quite understand it as well as she does? And that's my question. It's not rhetorical. It's honest. And in addition to that, the last thing I want to see, what I would hate to see, is since conflict is a vital component of this thing, you know, you get people confused, and when they're confused, you create the bewildered herd in Walter Lippmann fashion, and then they have to, again, cling to their experts because, you know, we don't know how to find our way through this wilderness of mirrors that you guys have created. So we need the expert to lead us out of the maze that they've created, perhaps in Rand, you know, game theory sort of fashion. And so the last thing you want to see is people who might not be intentionally doing something start to fight with each other, which inevitably sort of feeds into the conflict model that results in what you were talking about, where, you know, the way I put it, you know, the CVE thing, basically we're gonna rout out all conflict until we have peace, which means the absence of opposition. And so we don't want to feed into that either.
So can I finish J.J. Zapp's little blurb? It's just two more sentences.
Okay.
Notice the gulp from Corbett at the end of their shilling, pun intended, clip. Corbett knows damn well what communitarianism is. Indeed, you are what is said at 35 minutes, 15 seconds. Quote, Satan's ministers love to transform themselves as angels of light. What I'm insisting is, We could send you a Miles W. Mathis where he's pointing to James Corbett and his lineage of misbehaviors, but we're not going to get to it till sometime over the weekend. But we will put up this great reset thing. And I wanted to also put in a little plug for Nordica and Nikki. Tomorrow are on with Scorpio Revolution Radio Studio A at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So,
okay.
Nordic has never been on a broadcast.
Huh. Okay, I didn't know that. That's interesting. So, but I want to get to, you know, specifics. I mean, I don't know. You guys have dug into this more than I. Do you have a sense of whether or not this is, you know, people being intentionally misleading or just a lack of comprehensive understanding, you know, on the level of someone like Nikki, for example.
Take this little bit of advice, Chris. Don't trust anybody. Me, Jenna, Lark, JJ. It could be we all have two sides to us, and I don't know who is on the up and up. I search for...
I appreciate that. I used to sort of operate more on that basis. These days I'm operating, you know, I feel like if I do that, if I trust no one, then I become sort of a paranoid schizophrenic. Eventually that is sort of the effectual outworking of that. If I trust but verify, then I have a more, I don't know, a softer countenance, you know, a more benevolent, kinder, gentler countenance, and it seems to work out better. I'm trying to do that. And, you know, this again gets back to why I've been sort of focusing on the solution. And this really, so I think it illustrates the point of kind of how I contextualize this. You know, it always comes back to the question, who decides? Does man decide for man? And, you know, communitarianism to me is the ultimate end game of man deciding for man. And, you know, getting back to what you were saying about earlier, you know, before we will have a queen kind of thing, it is, you know, you think of the quote attributed to different people, Dresden James, for example, it's the quote that Lark mentions, you know, the ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves are, therefore, those which blissfully and unawaredly enslave themselves. And so this becomes a thing. You put all of this stuff in today's broadcast together, that aberrant behavior that I talked about, the cultural Marxist thing, the Marxist Freudian model, and, you know, I was just having a conversation with a friend last night about this, that people are not themselves. If you really look at people these days, we've gone through generations of this thing I would identify as, you know, Baudrillard's simulacra and simulation. We're in kind of the third stage of that. And, you know, people that don't know what I'm talking about, go to simulacra and simulation Wikipedia entry. I mentioned it the first hour. But, you know, the stages, the third stage, read those stages and you'll see what I mean. They're not themselves, and they are retreating to these manufactured personas that are a result of a fractured psyche as a way to protect themselves, because they know this is becoming a vicious society. It's not outwardly vicious, but it's sort of inherently malicious in a very subtle and misleading, disingenuous sort of way. And so people retreat into these manufactured personas with their little sound bites and their little quips, and there's nothing authentic, genuine, or original about it, but it's a survival mechanism. And so you do that, and anything that is outside of those perceived norms gets attacked. And so these people are not just – that's part of that enslavement of themselves, and they're not just enslaving themselves. They're enslaving one another by imposing this on each other and themselves. So, and, you know, most people just don't take time to reflect on – and see it for what it really is.
Yeah, it's also this mask wearing keeps you from being able to see facial features. When Lark called in to James Corbett with either his interview with Nikki or Rosa Corey, Lark got done with his question and There was a look on James's face like, how am I going to pull out of this without exposing that I have an alternative plan I'm trying to keep the public deceived from, but you could see it on his face. And I think it has to do with the long, hard swallow of his Adam's apple when he realized he knows exactly what communitarianism is. And what was being discussed on the Davos interview with him, he should have brought it up, but he didn't. And, you know, Jenna and I, we have to go out every day and figure out how to get from point A to B or make something happen, fix something, and you have to get all your ducks in a row. Just observe every aspect and try and make something happen. And that's all I'm doing. I have to look at these facial features, and it's highly suspect is all I'm saying. And we will pass on the Miles Mathis. Speaking of getting something done, Chris, I'm going to let you close out the broadcast with your permission.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground. I appreciate it. We got other calls to get to. People have been waiting patiently. So thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, as always.
And me as well. Thank you, Mike.
I think if this conversation proves anything, it proves Nikki's point that communitarianism is intentionally confusing and ambiguous and, you know, whatever. Anyway, back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Well, they're thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. We'll get it there no matter what it takes. As long as we're doing Jerry Reed, I might as well go for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's Friday, man. We can do that.
Yeah.
That's a great, 38 minutes, great segue.
We're not waiting. It's important stuff, we're waiting angrily.
It's important stuff.
Look, it's all tyrannical oligarchy. The purpose of confusion is war of attrition on the masses to create confusion, to frustrate people and just get them to give up and submit, okay, and then you have your absence of dissent. It's not really all that complicated. And, you know, it's like, geez, I'm there. This guy's killing me. Yeah, and I'm like, oh. So at some point, you have to just buck up and say, this is malarkey, and you people are being illogical, and you're not making a point, and, you know, this isn't a political philosophy. It's a bunch of hooey, and just stand up and call hooey hooey, you know. But, you know, it's funny. You're saying the absence of dissent. I seem to remember calling and saying that several days ago. It's like,
That's
so,
why I mentioned it.
You know, yep. You're so confusion. God is not the author of confusion, right. And you know, and I'm a benevolent monarchist. In terms of who to trust, I trust Jesus. I'm waiting on the benevolent monarch to be running everything's with a rod of iron. That's about the only time it's ever going to get straightened out. Yeah. But one of the reasons I initially went to call
that's full circle. Right. You know, again, from the article, the obstacle to this evolution, Timothy, is the Bible. So. My question always is who decides, and you just punctuated the answer to that question. So,
right. Now, the reason I called in, and you probably know this already, but I'm not sure. I just heard John Stadtmiller say the other night on his program that Alan Watt passed away on the 4th. I'm guessing you know this.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier this week. So, yeah, I did talk about that and, you know, thought about doing some more stuff. I think it was, Monday and Tuesday? I think Monday, second hour, and Tuesday I talked about it again, Alan's passing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't been following his webpage for a few years, but I don't know if he was still cranking out content recently. Mm-hmm. I was dismayed when he gave up his radio program because I thought it was... you know, unique, and he did a good job at shining a light on the esoteric-exoteric dichotomy and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the basic you know, the basic idea, like peace is the absence of dissent and all that kind of stuff. The good reason versus the real reason. These are the things I remember, you know, gleaning mm-hmm. from Alan Watt.
Yeah.
I had spoken to him on the phone a few times. I mean, apparently he had actually been, you know, like somebody dropped a phosphorus grenade in his chimney one time. and wow. He had actually been, yeah, that was some bizarre stuff. But he had a unique perspective that really woke people up to, you know, the methods and manipulations of our tyrannical oligarchs, you know?
Yeah.
But that's really all I had. So it's almost near the end. I think you have another caller, so I better go.
Yeah.
Take care, man.
Thanks. Thanks, Glenn, as always.
I'm eastbound and down. Yep.
I think that's more how Jerry Reed is remembered. Definitely. Yeah. Or, you know, Amos Moses. They named him after Man of the Cloth. Something like that. That's a good follow-on to the conversation with Brian, I think. It's an interesting thing. You know, these aberrant manifestations. You know, I was thinking earlier of factious disorder imposed on self and factious disorder imposed on another. This victim psychopathy, it's just rampant, you know? And I think Glenn makes a good point, you know? And again, the way that I would sort of summarize it all is, who decides? And so this is why I keep coming back to the Bible and the author of it, you know, the supreme author of it, the one inspired, you know, who inspired those 66 authors and 40 books, or excuse me, the other way around, 66 books by 40 authors. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, who decides? It was always a question. Back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, I was going to tell you that a primer would be that Joan Vion, United Nations Global Straitjacket by Joan Vion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She couldn't get anybody to listen to her either.
We tried, you know. I mean, she was on this broadcast a few times, and I always really, really appreciated Joan Vion. And she's another one, you know, that her archives have, you know, all but disappeared, unfortunately. She did a yeoman's mm-hmm. job in trying to inform her fellow man. Absolutely.
Well, we kind of forget, can't forget where all this stuff comes from, the United Nations.
Yeah, and where did the United Nations come from? The bowels of hell, I would say.
Right. Anyway. Right. All right, yeah. That's all I want to say.
Thanks, Pat. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
As always, that is it for Friday, folks. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope that you are able to enjoy the sun and nature and all that entails and so forth. Hope this was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and pleasure. Please pray for one another. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.